Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Earlier this week, Lake Effect essayist Joanne Weintraub issued a challenge to filmmakers and film festival producers alike. More movies that pass the Bechdel test. Movies that feature at least two women talking to each other about a subject besides a man. There are more of those films than there used to be, but they're still not a given in Hollywood.
There are, however, signs of a significant shift of sorts, more older women playing key roles. That's a trend that our film contributor Dave Lurson has taken note of, and he joins us now to talk more about it. Hi, Dave.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. And this time I thought it would be fun to talk about something that seems to be getting a bit of press, which is roles for older women, or at least maybe positions of power for women in Hollywood, sort of women in Hollywood in general. But the aging process doesn't tend to be kind.
No, it's been I mean, it's a reflection of social values that men have a little bit better time in Hollywood aging into roles. You can become a distinguished elder statesman of some sort or corporate executive. I mean, these things have mirrored where our society has been at. Our society is gradually changing, and films, I think, are gradually changing to reflect that. But there are some, you know, I tend to be an agnostic about the ultimate value of statistics, but I have some here I can
yes, please,
talk
share
to
them.
You about.
Yeah.
Well, from 2007 to 2014, women made up only 30% of all speaking roles in Hollywood movies, the top 100 grossing films, at least. So blockbusters, superhero movies, all this kind of stuff. You have some exceptions, like the X-Men movies have female complement of female superheroes, but this tends to be male-dominated. And of this 30% that I mentioned, only 19.9% of these women were over the age of 40.
Wow.
So you have that to look at. And on the other hand, though, the audience of moviegoers age 60 and over account for 13% of all tickets sold in North America. And they has been proven now, demonstrated that these people will come to movies that speak to them in some way. And in fact, this is a nice, maybe, you know, kind of parallel on the other side. Teenagers need to get out of the house and see movies. You know, why not just sit home and watch everything on your screen at home? There's a value for teenagers to get out of the house and socialize and do things. Well, I think that older people, retired people, people reaching that part of life seem to feel the same way. This is exciting to get out. Get up with your spouse, your friends, whatever it is, and pick a movie. I mean, the number of movies that might interest you are kind of limited, but there's stuff out there. And go out and make an evening of that. And we see that movie theaters, the new South Shore, with its beautiful seats and expanded food and drink service. I mean, there are a lot of things being done that I think are catering to an older, affluent audience.
Okay. Is Hollywood making the movies? You said there's only so many, but I think in the last few years there are a few more that are out, maybe with people actually playing the ages they are.
Yes. I mean, there is movement in this direction. And when we talk about Hollywood, we talk about indie movies. I mean, I talk about something called the outskirts of Hollywood, which is sort of this zone where is it kind of in sort of an indie movie, but it has kind of sort of Hollywood involvement. And that zone is where a lot of this, I think, is coming from. So a great example, Exotic Marigold Hotel grossed $137 million worldwide. It prompted a sequel, Exotic Marigold Hotel 2, I think it was called, or More Exotic Marigold. I can't remember the name of it now.
Something about
something
more,
with that,
yes.
In there. And it didn't do quite as well, but it did really well. And these are not, by the scale of Hollywood, particularly expensive movies to make. You don't have to blow things up. You don't have to spend a lot of money on high-tech things, on entire, you know, technological departments to visualize things. You find a nice setting somewhere. You pay the actors, pay the crew, and you can do a movie like this on a rather modest budget. And if it hits the right audience, you can make a great deal of profit off of this, much more so than you can off of a mediocre performing special effects blockbuster movie.
Now, that performance is key, because in Marigold Hotel, you have Judi Dench, you have Bill Nighy. I'm forgetting some of the other
Maggie Smith.
Yes. I mean, it's like a cast of characters out of the great British film actors. In a lot of ways. So I think, you're getting a draw there. You've just got phenomenal acting.
Right. I think that people 50 and up, I don't know where to really draw the lines here on this discussion. Maybe I can say something very, very much in general, that people have a tendency to like to see actors on screen that are part of their generational cohort. Whether it's teenagers or tweeners going to see Hunger Game movies, or middle-aged people, or older people. And I think, since we're talking more about older people here, another interesting factor is that many of the actors came of age during the 1970s, early 80s, late 60s, a period that was a kind of second golden age for Hollywood. There were really exciting, provocative movies being made, and actors cut their teeth on these things, and they really have a great deal to give, especially if they can be teamed up with a screenwriter and a director who doesn't just want to milk the name. Like, an unfortunate number of Robert De Niro movies of recent years come to mind with that. But somebody who can say, Robert De Niro, what would be an interesting thing to do with him at this point in his life? So, and there is a movie out right now called The Intern, which I have not seen, but that sounds like it might be an interesting deployment of Robert De Niro as an old retired man coming back into the workforce as an intern for the much younger Anne Hathaway.
I was going to say a grumpy intern, probably.
Grumpy intern, but, apparently, yes, but apparently, a gentleman of some wisdom and experience kind of trying to test his experiences against the changing world we live in. And I imagine there'll be a happy confluence at the ending where young, old, you learn from old, and old, you learn from young. But whatever. I mean, that is a more interesting thing to do with him.
Lily Tomlin comes to mind, too, because of Grandma.
Grandma. This is a great film. I recommend anybody who cares about this issue to go out and see Grandma right away before it leaves Milwaukee.
She is playing her age, right?
She's 75.
Right. And what I like about the film, at least from what the feedback I'm hearing, is that it's not just her cohort that is going to see it. It's people all over, because people have memories of Lily Tomlin, or if they're young, they're just discovering her comedic genius.
Right. I mean, it's a movie that addresses, whether this was cleverly plotted out this way or not, I think it cleverly addresses the very young and the very old, so to speak, because the other major character is a teenager who decides to seek an abortion, does not have money for it. Her boyfriend is a complete jerk, won't assume any responsibility. Her mother is a professional woman, utterly disconnected from anything. She goes to her grandma, Lily Tomlin, who is a very feisty woman of the 1960s, who is determined to take it to the streets, including beating up her granddaughter's boyfriend, literally with the poor guy's hockey stick.
It sounds like Lily Tomlin somehow.
Yes.
When we talk about building characters over time, that feels like I was just watching her in Frankie and Grace, and there's another aspect of that Lily Tomlin character, that feisty, just sort of earthy, as you say, taking it to the streets type of character.
Yeah, it's an ideal role for her, really. I'm tempted to say kind of a role of a lifetime, a culmination maybe of all the things that she has done in the past. Great part. I mean, I think it's like an 85-minute long movie that manages to do, a dozen things very well, as opposed to a 2.5-hour Hollywood movie that does very few things well.
Right.
So I just think, from a filmmaking standpoint, quite apart even from her role in it, it is a remarkable movie.
Any others that you would suggest that we check out?
Well, recently, again, if we're talking about older people in general, Ian McKellen was in Mr. Holmes, a very interesting take on the Sherlock Holmes thing. He plays Sherlock Holmes in later in life, in retirement, post-World War II. He is suffering from the beginnings of dementia, and he is trying to remember an important final case, apparently, that he did years and years earlier that led to him leaving the detective role that he had been playing. So the movie is quite good at portraying health issues in old age. He brilliantly, just the body language, you can see that this is an old man trying to, you know, he can't quite see as well, so he's sort of slightly feeling his way. The memory lapses. Sometimes he's extremely lucid. Sometimes he can't remember things. It's just brilliantly done.
Well, Ian McKellen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And anything else?
Well, an example, maybe getting back to increasing scope for women past a certain point in their careers, I think of the movie Red with Helen Mirren, another excellent actress with a long track record. Here you had a movie, Michael Caine was in there. I mean, you begin to find the superhero older person's movie, which is an interesting twist on things. That movie did pretty well. I'm not sure, you know, who the audience for it was. It was maybe a mixture of the normal teenage superhero people plus older people. So it
anyone who loves Helen Mirren.
Well,
yeah.
That would be reason enough to go see it.
Yes. Yeah, she's terrific, too. So do you see or do you think that the filmmaking industry, I won't say Hollywood specifically, right, but the filmmaking industry in general is starting to recognize that there's a broader audience than the, you know, males from 15 to 25 that a lot of stuff seems to get marketed to?
I think that this is happening. I mean, what makes it very complicated now, though, of course, are things like Netflix, where you can have, you know, a series like the one that Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin are starring in right now. That's probably being kind of a boutique series in the way that's being crafted around particular audiences, and there's more and more and more of this out there right now. Going to the movie theater once a week is not the habit of most American people anymore, because there are so many other ways of consuming moving images. So in the entire universe of moving images, I would say yes, this is happening. As far as the Hollywood multiplex kind of stuff, I think that ship is moving slower than I would like to see it. But if there are, you know, great minds at work there, they can certainly see that there is money to be made from this.
And that's the driving force.
For Hollywood, definitely.
Absolutely. Well, Dave Lurson, it is always a pleasure to see you. Thank you for stopping by this morning.
Thank you.
Dave Lurson is arts and entertainment editor of the Shepherd Express newspaper, author of its I Hate Hollywood blog, and he is our regular film contributor.